Might get a little complicated. We got two dudesicles on the phone at once. And by dudesicles, I mean experts and distinguished gentlemen. Please welcome an old friend of the show, Dr. Timothy Nash from over in Midland at Northwoods University's McNair Center, and Jason Hayes, Mackinac Center for Public Policy. These two gentlemen wrote a report called Grading the Grid. As we look at different resources for power in the state of Michigan, natural gas and nuclear power lead the way as far as generating clean, affordable energy. But now we've heard a lot, not just in Michigan, but all over. You know, you see the windmill blades going down the freeway, and they're something to see, boy. But is that the way? Wind power, solar power, it seems like there's been a rush to that, and it's still not efficient. So let's look at this 130-page report and grade the grid with these two gentlemen. Guys, welcome to your morning wake-up.
Good morning. Thanks for having us on.
So I don't know how we want to do, Tim, I know we've talked to Dr. Timothy Nash, we talked to you a lot. Jason, welcome, by the way. I'm going to give it to Jason right away at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. I don't think we've talked, maybe, I know we've had people on from your group, but tell me about the grading of the grid. How many different resources for energy did you guys look at, Jason?
Yeah, we looked at 8 resources: natural gas, coal, petroleum fuels, nuclear, hydro, wind, solar, and geothermal. We took a pretty big picture look and then kind of ranked them based on, you know, how much do they cost? Are they reliable? What are their environmental impacts? Looked at a pretty big, that's why this paper turned out to be 130 pages. It's a pretty in-depth look.
What was the space of time that you, quote unquote, looked at these different sources of energy? Was it over a year or what?
It took us a few months at least. We've been working on this. I mean, we've both been working on these ideas for decades, but this paper specifically a few months.
And Tim, I want to bring you in here because you guys give these grades, and you, of course, at Northwood University, you give everything a grade, don't you, Tim? Dr. Timothy Nash, you have hamburgers on the weekend. You go, I'm giving that one a C minus. Don't you do that? Huh?
You've talked with my wife.
Tell me of natural gas and nuclear power. They probably both get A's, right? Run down the list. Who gets what grade?
Well, the highest grade went to natural gas, and natural gas received the highest grade because it is a clean fuel. It is a dependable, reliable fuel. And, you know, when it comes to extracting it and building a long-term reliable plant across the board, it ranked, you know, nines and tens throughout our key categories. Nuclear ranked second. And you know, part of the problem with nuclear is that there's still some people that are concerned about, you know, nuclear as it relates to, you know, movies like The Old China Syndrome. But nuclear power, Mike, has made tremendous inroads in terms of safety and security. And when you normalize regulations, we think you'll see the cost of nuclear coming down. But the regulatory structure still makes nuclear a little bit more costly. Ironically, and Jason's, you know, really the science expert on this paper. It was a shock to both of us, but we ranked wind and solar the lowest, and the reason that took place, and I'm going to turn it over to Jason after I make these next couple of comments, but the main reason why they both scored maybe F pluses. It'd be a stretch to say a D minus, so we didn't give them a D minus, is because number one, wind and solar, especially in Michigan, we have periods when the wind's not blowing. We certainly in Michigan have a lot of days when the sun's not shining. The battery technology for storage isn't there yet. And then when it comes to the U.S. economy, much of the rare earth minerals that are needed to make the batteries and the, you know, for the solar farms, for the windmills, those rare earth elements are not being able to be mined for in the U.S. We've not allowed these mines to be opened and these minerals explored for. And where the big sources are right now would be China with the enslaved Uyghurs in Western China, and then in a number of areas where young individuals well below our labor laws are being used to mine for these rare earth minerals in Africa. So when you look at all of those conditions, and especially if you take away the huge government subsidies that we've invested in wind and solar and will continue to invest in them, you find out that they're much more costly than anything that you can get from nuclear or from natural gas. Jason, your thoughts?
Well, Jason, I want to ask you, let me just step in and ask you about this, because whenever you talk solar and wind, I'm all in. I love it. I do, because it means I'm not paying the man, right? But it seems to me, does solar and wind work much better on, say, a private level? Like I would have my own solar panels on the roof of the RV, and I would have a little windmill?
Yeah, so if you want to look for an area where solar could work, that's probably the best one. If you're out in a rural situation, you're off the grid, and you've got battery technology to back up the over 80% of the time or over 80% of the capacity that solar's not producing. So, yes, that would work. But otherwise, like when we see people with solar on their roofs, residential solar or something like that, even if you don't have that on your roof, you're still paying for it. The credits that go to it, the special programs that the utilities put in place, like every one of us, every time we get a bill every month from consumers or DTE or whoever our utility is, there's a surcharge on there that helps to cover the costs of all the imposed costs that come from wind and solar. So you're paying for it regardless.
Wow. And this is why solar and wind got an F, boy, in this report. 130-page report. Natural gas and nuclear top of the list at being good and clean, grading the grid in Michigan. So, guys, let's talk about coal. Every time I talk about coal, now you gave coal a B-. I think, and I know it works. Basically, we're looking at, we got to burn something to make heat to turn generators. I get it.
Yes.
Coal seems so dirty and nasty to me. I don't know. Maybe I'm just off.
Yeah, part of the technology or the ideas that we looked at was environmental impact. And there's no escaping the fact that when you combust coal to make electricity, it produces twice as much CO2 as natural gas. So there is that fact. But also we graded these energy sources on things like capacity and reliability. So when it's a day like today in Midland, Michigan, the clouds are out, there's no sun shining, the wind is very mild, not enough to really produce enough electricity. Well, what are you going to do? You need something that still works. Coal is one of those, just like nuclear and natural gas, that you can always rely on. There was a story a couple days ago in Texas where a hailstorm came through and took out, over 1,000 acres of solar panels. Okay, well, if a hail hits a nuclear plant or a coal plant, that plant is not going to go down like that solar field did. So those are part of the reasons why we graded. It's not just like, oh, well, I like solar because I'm green, or I dislike solar because of subsidies. There was a template that we actually went through and graded them on this.
Okay, and we'll get into where to find this report here soon, but I have so many questions about solar and wind. And since we have Jason on, Dr. Nash, I don't want to just neglect you. You've been on a lot, man. You've had the spotlight. I want Jason talking. And he's the scientist guy anyway.
I carry Jason's water every day on these subjects.
All right. Here is my concern. Jason Hayes from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Even when you talk electric cars and stuff, the batteries that store the electricity, is there byproduct? Is there, what do you do with an old battery? Right? Even in your house, if you have like double A's that are on, you can't just throw them out. So all these big ginormous batteries, what happens?
Right. So that's, again, part of the reason the energy sources were graded the way they were, because solar and wind require some form of backup. Now, today, that's typically natural gas, but for the batteries, as they begin to be developed, we're going to have these issues. So Dr. Nash talked about, you know, you're sending kids in the Congo into the ground, sending kids to mine for cobalt so that we can produce these batteries. And then when you're done, yeah, what are you going to do with them? If you recycle them, that's great, but doing that raises the to address that fact. You're shipping them to a recycling plant, you're reprocessing them and all those sorts of things. And right now the recycling capacity is not really there. So we're left with sticking them in a landfill or something like that. And then you have to deal with, well, what's going to leach out of the batteries? And if leaching is bad from coal ash, then shouldn't it also be bad from batteries and solar panels and wind turbines? We're concerned about these environmental issues. We should be concerned about them for every energy source, just not the ones that we think are, in quotes, dirty.
You guys gave geothermal in grading the grid in Michigan. You gave geothermal a D+. What's wrong with that? You drill into the ground.
The big issue with that is that it's geography. The most accessible geothermal is really in the western states, not so much in Michigan. And if we found a cheaper way to drill and, you know, produce more, then, yeah, we'd get a higher grade. But really, cost for drilling and geography are what limited that source.
All right. What we learned today, ladies and gentlemen, of the 8 resources for power in Michigan: natural gas, nuclear, coal, hydroelectric. There's another. Well, now you gave that a B-. That's not bad. That's basically just a river running over a dam. That's good. Petroleum, geothermal, solar, and wind. Solar and wind get an F. I want you to sink that in. Where do we find this 130-page report in case we want some light reading over the weekend?
You can get either a report on the Mackinac Center website or the McNair Center website at Northwood University, Mike. And you know, I guess the other point that I would make as we close out is the fact that when we're looking at the overall environmental value of this, you know, the United States produces the cleanest coal, the cleanest natural gas, the cleanest oil in the world. And what we're doing simultaneously was we're shutting down American natural gas, American liquefied natural gas, American petroleum, and American coal. And we're making more abundant a lot of coal coming out of Europe, which is much dirtier coal, or dirtier petroleum or natural gas coming out of Russia, the Middle East, and Venezuela. So if we're trying to say we're going to deal with climate change, it's a global issue. And we are, what we're really saying is, by shutting down the United States in these three vital categories of oil, natural gas, and coal in the United States, the rest of the world is buying dirtier oil, natural gas, and coal, and the climate is more negatively affected because of this.
And with an election year coming up, this is good information to have. All right. As always, we appreciate it. Dr. Timothy Nash from Northwood University's McNair Center, and Jason Hayes from the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Guys, thanks a lot, and we'll find this 130-page report. I'm gonna get this and have this in the library, though. Can I get it leather-bound and autographed? Can you guys? No? Huh? Okay, fine.
We can arrange that for you.
Yeah. All right. Hey, you guys, we appreciate it. Grading the grid. We'll chat again soon.
Thank you.
Take care, Mike.
See ya.
Keep
All
up
buddy.
The great work.
Thanks. You too. See ya. I like Dr. Nash because Northwood University is my wife's alma mater over there in Midland. All right, 1320 WILS, 8 minutes away from 9 o'clock. We have groovy news to go. I have cows, but I mean like a rare cow, not a two-headed thing or anything like that. But you'll see coming up. Groovy news on the way, 1320 WILS. Mike Austin back in a minute.